present callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Yeah, let's vote these bastards out. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. That was my little ditty about screwing up the Alaska, the LNG gas line, thanks to some of our local legislators, three in particular from the interior. I would recommend you consider really hard to whether to vote for or not after voting against passage of the gas line and going along with the Democrats and now supporting Tom Begich, the Democratic candidate in the lead down there for governor. Anyway, you know, they dislike the governor, the current governor, so much they put that ahead of all Alaskans. I'm really absolutely disgusted with it. As I know a lot of the listeners are here, but that's politics. So one thing we can do, get out and vote today. It's critical. There's going to be some close races, so we want to make sure we get out and vote out there. So you want to do that. I got a special guest in today. But before we do that, let me take a phone call if I can. Let's see if I can make this work here. Let's see. Hello, this is Outdoor Show. Can I help you? Problem Corner. It's actually Problem Corner, not the Outdoor Show. I'm covering for Bruce.
I decided to let you know that I cannot hear anything on the radio. It's silent.
Okay, thank you. It's silent. Test, test, test. Okay, hang on. Let me figure out what's going on here. Okay, thank you, Glenn. All right. Hey, this is Craig filling in for Dave Pruse on Problem Corner. I hope you hung in there with that dead air. Dead air was sponsored by the interior delegation that voted against the gas line. That was dead air. They did nothing down there in Juneau. 210 days to get it done. Then we came out with no gas line. My personal opinion is because they don't want the governor to get the credit. I wrote an op-ed piece that might show up Sunday in the paper. If any of you still get the News Miner, you can check that out. But anyway, that is what's going on. Sorry for the glitch up front. I'm filling in for Dave Pruse, who is out of town. I think he's in Kotzebue today for a meeting. And I've never been to Kotzebue. And I asked Dave, he hadn't either. So it's kind of a, he's got one up on me for that. Anyway, today I have a guest that's a really good friend of mine. We do a lot of outdoor stuff together. We're going to talk outdoor stuff on Problem Corner. Eric Spitzer. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I've been out of town for a while, so we usually go to lunch or talk about outdoor stuff or get together for a beer at your place or something. But so we've been out of touch a little bit, so we're going to catch up on the air. How's that sound?
That sounds great to me.
Pull that mic in a little bit. I think I have it down there.
How about that?
There you go.
There
much
go.
Better. And thank you to the caller who called to say they were listening to Dead Air.
Man, we had so much good conversation.
No. Yeah, we'll have to, maybe we'll start the second half of the show with some of that stuff. But anyway, you know, you and I are kind of jet boat junkies. Jet boating is my favorite of everything. The snow machine, four-wheeling, everything. I love jet boating. I love ankle-deep water that goes forever. It sounds like you just got a new boat.
Yeah, I'm ruined now. I went from steering wheel steering to stick steering.
Oh, yeah. You spoiled, huh?
I'm telling you right now, it's like once you go, you can't go back. I can't go back. Yeah, I cannot go back to a steering wheel. Like
stuck on the stick.
This way. I'm stuck on the stick. The old Riddle Marine. It is.
RMX,
RMX.
Yeah, Doug Riddle. So I was telling you before the show, so we started handling Weldcraft inboard jet boats in 1982, my dad and I flew down and met Norm Riddle and Glenn Woolridge were like the two pioneers in the Pacific Northwest that really developed the jet boats up here. You know, they started in Australia, but these guys kind of dialed them in and really got that market going. So we made a lot of trips back and forth to Lewiston, ordering boats, test driving boats.
Yeah.
Beautiful craftsmanship. I mean, the welds on those, everything was just beautiful and
they got the hull figured out.
Oh.
I mean, like that hull, they got like a, what's it called?
Reverse
gull wing.
Yeah.
Like a reverse gull wing design.
Yeah.
And it just slides around corners. And then like when you're sliding around the corner, there's a rock wall there and you got to like put the whip to it, you know, to really get it after it.
Yeah.
It'll slide, but also turn sharp when you get it
with. One of the biggest problems I see with people that aren't really familiar with jet boating is the throttle is your steering friend.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's times you just got you're heading right for something bad, and most people chop the throttle. Then you just go into it.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive.
So, yeah, it is. The jet. I tell everybody that on a good jet boat, the jet is like a giant magnet on the water. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to break loose as long as you keep the thrust on it and power. You know, so on a good hull. So anyway.
Yeah, a good hull. But if you have got like a flat bottom with just a tunnel hull and like some sketchy chines, like it will slide. Some of them will slide sideways, and that is damn scary.
Yeah, and we had I remember I forget what year it was, we built 33 of these mini boats, little 12 foot. We had Weldcraft build them. The problem was the engines were junk. They were a Cuyuna 40 horse with a little Berkeley 6J pump on it, and so a lot of those have been replaced with bigger motors.
Kawasaki.
I had one 175 horse V6 Merc sport jet motor in it. Well, it was painted bright yellow. We called it the screaming yellow zonker. And
did it cavitate a lot?
No, but after about 45, 50 miles an hour, the torque of the engine, the whole thing leaned to the right really hard. It was just, it was way too much power, much power. But it was fun. We had a lot of fun with it.
I'll bet over beaver dams and.
Yeah. And because we lost the first 5 minutes of the show to dead air, we're going to be going to our first break already. But we're going to talk a lot with Eric Spitzer about outdoor stuff, fun stuff to do, getting ready for hunting season, maybe some tips, maybe some experiences we've had you might learn from that that we can definitely save you some money. Everybody makes mistakes on the river, but just being smart, being safe, staying away from sweepers, life jackets, have an anchor, all that good stuff. We'll talk about some of that stuff after the break, so hang in there with us.
Yeah.
Derby Day.
It was amazing. It was like back to fishing in the old days. We had almost a fish every... I can't even talk. I'm so excited about it. It was like back to the old days of fishing in Valdez.
And not just great amounts of fish, but big.
Huge. They're all great sized fish. You know, in the past like 5 years, you know, you were lucky if you got a 10 pounder. I don't think we have a single fish today that is under 10 pounds. And then as a bonus, we caught a beautiful king salmon. So I was super happy about that.
Tell us where you were, what you were using.
I was in the ocean. No, I was at Goose. And we were using king candy. No bait. Just using the blue anise herring lotion.
A lot of people are not using any bait. Just the lures are getting her done.
Getting it done. I love it. We had herring with us just in case. We had all the contingencies, and they did right by us.
Coming to Valdez? Stay at Valdez RV Park. These TripAdvisor reviews tell you all you need to know.
Each site was clearly labeled, ground was graded well, and it's so close to the harbor.
Owners are friendly and accommodating, and the laundry, shower, and bathrooms were very clean. They even had s'mores at the fire pit.
Visit ValdezRVPark.com today.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 61. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Slight chance for isolated showers. Lows dip down to about 48. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 67. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. You know, when you dog up,
well, once again, we effed it up and went down in a blaze. It's hard to wrap your head around. They had 210 days. It was painful to watch it all go down on the radio and TV. They killed the LNG project because they don't like Mike Dunleavy. He's a shame.
All right, that's what we tried to play before this show started, and a reminder to vote. So y'all saw what happened at the gas line. You can thank three of our local legislators for that, and a bunch from Anchorage. Turn this off here. And anyway, I just wanted to remind everybody it's really, really important to get out and vote today. I'm voting no on one on the campaign contributions. Most of you just vote whatever way you vote. Get out and vote. I don't like these ballot propositions because the big one is coming up in the general election. That's a ballot measure 2 to get rid of ranked choice voting, and you have to vote yes. Yes, get rid of it. Stop the mess, vote yes. Okay, we're going to go back to where we were with my buddy Eric Spitzer, hunting buddy, fishing buddy, outdoor jet boat junkie, sled head, powder carver, quad nutcase. You're a high horsepower kind of guy.
Yeah,
we were talking about your boat, your new boat.
Yeah,
and so you took your dad up the river. Your dad came up and visited.
Oh yeah, we went like 2 hours up the Salcha, and I'm telling you, man, that it was skinny.
Pucker up that seat fabric.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing: if you like, let's say you're running the Talkeetna River or any other of the glacial type rivers that's all silted up, you could very well be in 6 or 8 inches of water and not really even know it.
Yeah.
But when you're in the Salcher River, it's like you know, you can see rocks like right down there. It's like you'd be, you know, 6 inches of water. And it's like, if you came off step, you're really in big trouble.
There, yeah.
Because there's nothing for.
Yeah. Well, and I always, you know, my rule with my boat is always keep the tunnel in the funnel. There's a funnel of water coming out. And you just, whenever you're in really tight, twisty water, all you picture is the back 4 feet of your boat. That's right. All you care about. You can hang. I got the plastic bottom. I can hang it all the way over a gravel bar. I can rub gravel and sand. As long as that pump is in the water, you know, you can keep your momentum and stay off the gravel bar.
The problem with the Salcha is, though, they'll have this, like, real wide spot.
Yeah.
And there's no distinct.
Yes.
It's just. Calm water. There's no riffles, and like
it's hard to flip a coin while you're driving the boat. Like, where do I go?
I'm like, okay, I keep running out. I'm running, and coming down is even worse because you got this like gravel bar that's coming from over here, and you're like, oh, I see a spot over here to the right, but do I hold out to go down onto the left and go far on the left?
Yeah,
and looking for a cut bank, and it's like, it's not good.
Yeah, and you got to commit. You got to mentally commit to where you're going. There's too many bends in most rivers to drive them by memory,
I know.
Then the river changes.
Yeah,
I'm dealing with that on the Good Pasture right now. But about 60 mile, there is a log jam that is. It could take a month.
Yeah.
It could take 6 years to clear out. But right now, the main channel, about a half a mile of it, is a sandbar that we normally go. There's no getting up there.
Yeah,
I mean it's so bad. You could get up it. Getting down. I've been up there when I had to recover a body, somebody that went into a log jam, overloaded. So anyway, at some point it's not worth taking those kind of chances, but it's tight. But anyway, we have a plan. Yeah. So
you know what? Speaking of the boats like that, I would just take this opportunity to encourage folks to, before you take your boat out the next time, here's like a friendly bit of advice. Make sure that you have all your U.S. Coast Guard required gear in that boat. Your PFDs, your noisemaker, your
There is a throw device. You need a throw device, which is smart anyway.
Yeah.
And if you can't find a life ring, you can use a seat cushion with a rope on it. Just something that you can throw that's a flotation device. Everybody's got to have a life jacket, but what's critical is they fit. You don't have to have them on if you're over 13, if you're 13 or older, but if you're under 13, you have to have the life jacket on. And it's smart anyway.
You don't want to be out there and then find out you don't have something you need. And,
you know, ruin your whole trip. You get up there. Yeah. Just a fire extinguisher. Yeah. You got to have that. That's always smart. But
I'll tell you something that's not required, but I think it's like it's kind of necessary. A stick, not a stick, but like a pole.
A pike pole.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Speaking of which, you know, I just found, cause I have a bunch of leftover stuff from the shop. We have those really nice 12-foot fiberglass pike poles.
Really?
And it took forever to find those things. I think they're about $150.
You still have them?
Yeah, I got five or six of them. So I'm going to probably get them to my buddies.
You do a friends and family discount?
Yeah. You need one for your boat?
I don't know. You just extra. You know what I mean?
No, they're bright yellow, but they're nice. Because you know those telescopic ones?
Uh-huh.
If they work for a weekend, we tried selling them once. I had to buy them all back. I mean, they just are garbage.
They're brutal,
you go up
man.
And you turn, they just are
junk. Especially if you get into mud and silt, and that silt gets up into that locking mechanism. And,
They're probably good for a canoe, but I wouldn't try and push anything heavier than that with it. No. Okay, so we did the jet boat thing.
Pike.
Pike?
Yeah. I got into some wicked pike, man. Huge. I'm talking about hanging it. I'll show you some photos here. Like holding the gills and like the tails on the ground. I got a 36-inch inseam, and these things are hogs.
Wow.
And
I love that.
I got to tell you how I cooked them.
Hmm.
I'm not going to go to the big long thing.
Yeah. No, you did tell me, but tell me again because
So you get some moose fat, okay?
Yep.
Get some moose fat. Save a bunch of moose fat. Render that moose fat. So you get the moose fat and render it. Cook the nuggets. Dip them in pancake batter mixed with beer. You know what I'm saying?
Any certain brand?
Of course, like whatever you got. You know? But get that like a beer batter mix, and you put the pike nuggets into that, and then put them in the fry pan in that moose fat. Then pull them out of there, put a little bit of sea salt on them, and then dip it in mayonnaise mix. And then you chop up some dill pickles in there. And I'm telling you, those are going to be, those will kick any halibut nuggets you've ever had out of bed.
Eric Pike Nuggets.
I learned it from a very good friend of mine, Phil. And, man, I'll tell you what, that is,
literally till they're coming out of your pores, you're eating them, right?
Yeah. If someone took one off my plate, we'd have to go at it. Like, I mean, I'll make enough for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But dang.
Well, you get a hog pike like that, you got a lot of nuggets there. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, especially. I used to look at big pike like, yeah, well, whatever, you know, kick it out, kick it back.
I caught a 44-inch up off the Nuwitna. That was the biggest one I ever caught, 44. That's a big one, yeah.
I caught one. I don't know if it was that long, but out by Ruby.
We were out. One time I went with I had the head of Skidoo in 1998, came up, and he just wanted a pike fish. That's all. Yeah. And we only had a half a day, so we flew to Banley. Mm-hmm. And then Click Bishop picked us up, Danny, and we went to Fish Creek, which is, I forget how many miles away that is, 20 miles or
That's
something.
Where, like, the world record pike is supposed to come from.
Really?
Yeah, we stopped there last year on the way back, we got nothing.
So listen to this. This is great. So I had brought a 31-inch remote control airboat with a fish line behind it with a big river rat.
Are you serious?
No. And so he caught, like, 15 fish, and they were all 35 over 35. They were monster pike, one after the other. And this guy is just having a ball. God, I forget his name right now.
Isn't this the river that goes into Manly from the Yukon? Or from the Tanana, I mean?
No. Oh, it's okay. further up the river. So it's but anyway, it looks like a big slough initially when you get in there.
Yeah.
And we just parked there and just we anchored up and fished. And you'd see the wake come up behind the
big
fish.
V.
And then they
that.
Take it down. So after we got bored after a while, and I took this remote control airboat out with the fish line, 10-foot fish line behind
and
it.
And a daredevil.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine who's not with us anymore, he started videoing. I made one loop around the boat, and it didn't catch anything. And then he put the camera down, and I wish he never would have, because this pike, you could see the wake come up, and all of a sudden that airboat stops, wiggles, and like the girl on Jaws, down it went, right?
It
went
down. The boat down.
It took it down for like a half a minute. This is a foam-filled 31-inch boat.
Yeah.
And then it got the line in its teeth, and boom, up comes a hydrolocked airboat. Little airboat. And we laid on that floor of that boat and laughed for an hour. We were laughing so hard. But anyway, yeah. And then found out later, apparently that's illegal.
I was going to say, when you
I
said
did it, they did a story in Boating Magazine about it.
Are you kidding?
And I got visited by U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Guy comes in the shop with a rolled up newspaper or I hadn't even seen the magazine. Buddy of mine told me, it's over in Fred Meyer's. You're featured in this magazine about your little boat. And I went, okay, I'll have to pick it up. And I never got around to it. And in comes this fish cop. And he goes, can I speak to you privately? I said, sure. He comes in and he throws a magazine down. And he goes, is that you? I go, yeah. He goes, you know, that's illegal. I said, what?
I was like, hold on, is this fiction or
not? Yeah, yeah. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you're not tethered to the line. I said, yeah, I am. Electronically, I'm tethered to the line. I had the remote control. He goes, nope. He goes, and I said, wait a minute. Are you going to give me a ticket? He goes, no, this is going to be a warning. I said, well, it's good because there's a lot of poaching and stuff going on out there. This is not a serious, I mean, I better get a warning because I still disagree. I think I was tethered to the line, but I guess I was illegal. But anyway, nothing came of it. But we had a lot of fun with the article. I got to go find that article. Yeah, the name of the boat was Bite Me.
Really?
yeah, it was a lot of fun. We used to catch grayling with it. Sit on the Sea-Doo or a little pike at Harding Lake. You know, you just we had three or four guys had them, and we'd have fishing contests with them.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Pretty cool. I tell you what, it's hard to bring back a 12-inch grayling. It's fighting and it's kind of powering. You got a full throttle coming back. Oh, I guess that's a break. We'll be back after this. I thought I got shot.
Did you get the pike?
is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
At least seven people have died in Indiana after damaging winds and massive flooding swept through the state. Governor Mike Braun tells Fox Weather this damage is historic.
Generally, we're tornado prone. It's going to impact a few counties concentrated in the damage. This was more like a hurricane hitting with hurricane-type flooding and rainfall.
Tens of thousands of people in Indiana still reportedly without power. Tech company OpenAI out with a new version of its flagship chatbot trying to get teenage users involved. The head of youth and families at OpenAI, Lauren Jones, describing ChatGPT for teens as a dedicated learning experience.
9 of 10 teens are using ChatGPT for learning. Mm-hmm. Our goal is for this to be an incredible learning tool for teenagers, and that's what you see with this launch.
Her comments there on the Fox News channel. There are tech companies like OpenAI and Meta facing lawsuits. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports NSTAR has shut off natural gas supplies to Whittier due to continued deterioration in a submerged, leaking pipeline that serves the city of about 250 residents along western Prince William Sound. Earlier this month, the utility warned of potential service interruptions after crews discovered a line break below 20 Mile River. The leak is in an 8-inch pipe located about a half mile from a popular Seward Highway boat launch south of Girdwood, NSTAR officials have said. The pipe provides gas to Whittier. On Sunday night, NSTAR issued an update. That pipeline section has deteriorated, requiring immediate action to shut off the flow of gas. Technicians immediately headed to Whittier to turn off gas meters, the utility said. NSTAR warned residents in the city to expect the natural gas outage to last until September 5th or until the pipeline is fully repaired, the update said. NSTAR operates 39 meters in Whittier, including one that serves the 14-story Begich Towers condominium building where most people live.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Alaskan youth are leaving. They graduate and they go. This is a failure to nurture opportunity and properly manage our resources. I'm Adam Crum. I've built businesses and led two of the biggest state agencies of health and revenue. I know what opportunity cost looks like, and we're paying dearly. I have shared my vision for Alaska with so many of you across the interior. Now, I need your vote to turn the vision into victory. Vote Adam Crum on August 18th.
Paid for by Adam Crum for Governor, P.O. Box 873-700, Wasilla 99687.
Wine glasses never fall over until you get a brand new rug.
Oh, no!
Ketchup bottles act normal till you're wearing a new shirt.
Ugh, you kidding me?
And rocks lie peacefully on the road till the day you get a brand new windshield. Then they fly up off the road and attack without mercy. That's why new windshields from Glass Doctor come with our windshield protection plan. Unlimited repairs and one replacement for 12 months. Don't just fix it, protect it. Glass Doctor, a neighborly company.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, we are back on the air. This is Craig Campo filling in for David Pruse on Problem Corner, 907-458-8255. If you got any questions, we're just talking outdoor stuff today. We were talking off the break about the Toke fire, which is pretty devastating. A couple thousand acres already, taking 20 structures, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty bad, pretty bad.
Not 20,000 acres, 2,000 acres.
Did I say 20? Yeah, 2,000 acres. Okay. You know, last year, Kenny Broker, myself, and Phil Ringstead were hunting on the Toke River in September, the first week of September. And as we're going up and down the river several times looking for moose. And all of a sudden we looked over and this fire just, it was off in the woods. It had been smoldering. It was an old fire, but it got really warm down there and it started up. And so we called and I took the compass off. Anybody doesn't know this, on all your smartphones is a compass, and just go to your compass and it'll give you the coordinates and you can call those in. If you have a fire or emergency, you can call those in. So it's really a nice thing to have. If you got a smartphone, it'll tell you exactly the longitude, latitude. the coordinates. So anyway, we called and said, hey, there's a fire and it's getting bigger here. We just wanted to report it. And they said, yeah, we know about it. We're all right. So I was thinking maybe it was that one, but you told me it was electrical fire.
Yeah. And well, I was thinking a little pro tip for folks out there. Man, if you have essential documents like driver's license, passport, social security cards, birth, marriage, divorce, adoption certificates, property deeds, mortgage papers, vehicle titles, registrations, all that kind of stuff, man, get some kind of like one of those expandable files, put that stuff in there, put it in a fire safe or a gun safe or whatever, so that you can just grab that stuff in 5 minutes and get.
That's right. Because, yeah, your life, you're going to spend 10 years trying to get all that stuff back.
Yeah, especially if you got a ton of kids and registering for school and this.
Yeah,
and
people
that.
Get stubborn, you know, around the fire time. Some people just say, well, I'm just going to hang out and stick around, you know, whatever. And, you know, a lot of those people aren't with us anymore. So, but I remember one guy when he kept his gold in the tank of his toilet, and he had gold bars in the tank of his toilet. That's where he hid them. Nobody would, I guess, think to look for him there. And then fire went through his house, and everything was fine. They were in the water in that tank, and everything survived just fine. Yeah. So
it'd be kind of hard to go around and collect that up if it had melted. I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a mess. Huh? Yeah, if those fires get hot. Well, let's get back to the outdoor stuff. You know, we were talking about boating safety and some of the. What's one of the best? What's one of the best summertime trips? Whether it's on four wheelers, side by side, jet boat. What's a memorable trip for you? What do you really get into?
If it's summertime, jet boating. I love. I go up to Talkeetna River a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love going up the Salcher River.
And you hunt out of Galena sometimes, don't you? That area,
Down by Ruby, yeah.
Yeah, by Ruby, yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm out fossil hunting, and man, it doesn't matter what I'm into, if I could be driving down the highway, and if there's some kind of construction going on, and there's something stopped up, I get out of the vehicle, I go over and dinking around in a creek and looking for fossils, looking for gold panning, looking for grayling, looking for pike, looking for moose tracks or whatever. I mean, like, and the beautiful thing about Alaska is, like, I've been here for 27 years. Every weekend go out doing stuff, and I still feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface. Yeah. There's so much to do. Like, I was on, like, when I was down in Lower Yukon, we'd go down and, like, you'd find, like, woolly mammoth teeth.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just like just crazy megafauna stuff. There's
a lot to discover. I've been here obviously 66 years.
Yeah.
And I love going to different places and seeing different things. And it's crazy. I've told this story before, but in 1983, I was with, there were six of us, three couples. And we went up the Good Pasture, and I wanted to show one of the couples that had never seen this cabin where a guy named Lawrence Johnson at the splits in the river, about 42 mile or something. Anyway, he's buried there. And he got in a fight with his folks in Minnesota when he was in his 20s, and he came all the way to Alaska, pulled up the Good Pasture River with his dog team. 33 weeks it took him, and I can do it in 2 hours now.
Yeah, yeah.
Three weeks pulling up the river. Anyway, he lived there his whole life. His claim to fame was he never had to leave his yard for a meal. Used to bitch about the caribou coming through by the tens of thousands and trampling his garden. He was really good friends with my grandpa. Anyway, he died. My dad hauled his headstone up the Good Pasture River. He's buried there. But in 1983, there was three couples, and Phil and his girlfriend, we said, hey, I want to show you this place. There isn't 10 people a year walk into this place. It's really neat. It's called old cabins and caches, just like he left it. We walk in there, and we're standing around his grave having a Budweiser. That's what we drank back then. And all of a sudden, one of my friends pointed to the grave, and he goes, what's today? And I said, I don't know, Friday? He goes, no, what day is it? I looked at my watch. I said, it's August 19th. And he just turned white. Leon Van Wy, and he pointed at the grave and he goes, look, we were there on his 100th birthday. We were standing around a grave. We had no idea we were there, and we all just got numb. It was like, okay, there's something going on here. This is not a fluke. And I said, go get that case of beer out of the boat. We stand there, we drank the whole case of beer, but it was his 100th birthday. I mean, what are the odds? The hair on my neck, my arms got numb. It was just, everybody looked at each other like, nobody will believe this, but it happened. So anyway, that was a river story that I'll never forget. But
I love those places up there when you get into it. And we would have a joke around, like, you cast a line in and try not to catch a grayling.
Oh, yeah, like yeah.
You got to try and put the line in and then reel it in before a grayling gets on. And
yeah.
Like, there's just some crazy, crazy places out there. And
oh, yeah. Like
up the Andrewski Way, up the Andrewski River.
Listen, we went up the Grayling Creek, which is off the Tetlin Lake. And this was
I've
when,
been there.
Okay, and this was when Tok was on fire in the 90s. Remember the big fire, 92, 98, some, it was in the 90s. We went in there, and I picked up one of the local guys. I always like to take a local guy with us, and we go in there, and there was so much smoke that the mosquitoes weren't out, and so the fish are hungry, right? There's no flies in the water.
Yeah.
We caught, five of us, we caught 240 grayling in 5 hours. We didn't keep any.
Right, right.
But the biggest one was 20 and a half inches, 9 inches around. It was a hog. And some of them had the, you could see the tails were bit off. The pike were eating the, you know.
That's but an old grayling.
I have never seen fishing like that. Same thing. You would almost never not bring one in.
Yeah.
And we were just giggling the whole time. We're just giggling. We videoed it. I still have it on my, I've got a tape called Hull's Gone Wild. I've never showed that to you. It's got 20 trips of ours, highlights with music to it. My daughter put it together. Up the Happy River, down by Squintna, up the Tok River, up all over the Goodpaster River, Salty River. Anyway, I got to dig that out. That was we spent decades making that video.
Where you were off the Tetlin Lake, is that the spot where like all the pine trees are laying?
Oh,
into the water?
You got to go under. Grayling Creek's the one on the left. Bear Creek, I haven't been up. That's on the right. They're both supposed to be crazy good fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tetlin Lake can be real low and grassy, so you got to be a little careful with the jet boat. Once you get in there, it's just insane. The fishing is just insane. And what's funny? I'll tell you this story. We get in there one year. We come around the corner. I've got one of the locals, and we're bouncing off the, they're like hay banks, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's only about three boat lengths wide. And we come around a corner, there's a 4-foot beaver dam. And I said, Charlie, what's that? Because the local guy, what's after this? I've never been past here. So I said, hang on. And I jumped this beaver dam. It's like 4 feet on an angle like this.
Yeah.
Got on the other side.
Right where the water comes over?
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was just laughing. And then there's brush. And I'm just trying to keep going. And all of a sudden, there's gravel. I mean, this because it's all grass on the lower end. There's all this gravel, and the water's just coming out of the ground. So I chopped the throttle, and we're high and dry.
Oh, man.
And he told me, he goes, yeah, there's gold, lots of gold around here. And I said, this isn't gold country. Look where black gold, Fort Knox is now.
Man, you should be out there checking your sand trap.
I should have listened to him. There was gold. I thought he was BSing me. But anyway, that was another fun trip. I made a couple trips into Grayling Creek. You know why they call it Grayling Creek now?
I was up there with, it was actually a Tanana Chiefs partnership boat ride. I think I was in a boat with, I think, Mike Kronk back in there. And man, that's beautiful back there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you're all by yourself in there.
It's huge,
beautiful area. A lot of whitefish down on the Tetlin River that comes out of there. We didn't do any of that. We just went, I like grayling fishing. All right. So we're going to be going into a break here in a minute. We're going to continue. We'll talk some more outdoor stuff with Eric Spitzer. We do a lot of stuff together. We do stand-up comedy. We do hunting and fishing. just crazy stuff. I just had a lot of good times with Mr. Spitzer over the years.
Remind me when I tell you about the whitefish thing up the Salcha.
Okay, we're going to talk whitefish after the break. This is Craig Compo. I am filling in for David Pruse, who's in Kotzebue. He's on some big committee. I forget what it is. He'll tell you about it, I'm sure. You know, Dave. I just found a picture of Dave, by the way, the 1978 high school basketball team. I was the manager because I scored 4 points, I think, the year before, so they made me manager. I'll show you a picture. He had hair. Dave Pruse had hair at one point. All right. Well, we'll see you after the break. Stick around, and we will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5. And streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Don't let summer slip by without a journey to Valdez to experience majestic Prince William Sound with Stan Stevens Glacier and Wildlife Cruises. Relax on their comfortable vessels as you explore the fjords and passageway to the Sound to Columbia or Mears Glacier. See marine bird and wildlife, including seals, sea otters, sea lions, porpoise, humpback whales, orca, puffins, eagles, and more. Tour rates begin at $179, so call 866-867-1297 to book your trip with the experts in the Sound, Stan Stevens Cruises. And remember to ask for your Alaska resident discount when booking.
Warmer weather is finally here, and that means cookouts,
ball games,
and maybe enjoying some time on the water.
But it also means lots of heavy food, sweets, and maybe an extra adult beverage or two. Thank goodness we both take Active Liver from New Nordic. Did you know your liver works around the clock, processing food, sugar, alcohol, and everyday toxins? All the things that can really impact your health.
That's why daily support matters. Active Liver is designed to protect normal liver function and support your body's natural detox process.
With trusted natural ingredients like milk thistle, turmeric, and artichoke extract, it's gentle enough to take all year long.
No harsh cleanses, no extreme detoxes, just simple daily liver support. We really feel the difference.
Active Liver helps us enjoy the good things in life with peace of mind that our liver isn't working overtime. Active Liver is available online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com, and you can find it in stores at CVS, Meijer Grocery, Wegmans, and now Active Liver is available at your local GNC.
With summertime comes those epic family adventures. Last thing you need are car troubles leaving you on the side of the highway, so make sure everything is running smoothly. Just swing your car or truck by Pearson Auto. From your AC to your radiator, to your fluid levels, belts, and battery, crew at Pearson's will make sure your next summer adventure doesn't come with any surprises. Well, almost no surprises. That's Pearson Auto off the Rich Highway and on Airport across from Pikes. Pearson Automotive, your dealership alternative.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 61. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 48. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, and we are back. This is Craig Compo with Eric Spitzer, and we're just talking outdoor stuff. I do want to, because I get to, I'm filling in for Dave Proves, I get a free plug for the business. Now, obviously, Compo's is closed, but we turned that into winter storage, Boat Street Storage. And we are filling up, I can't believe it, we are filling up fast. And there is a big shortage of indoor heated storage. So if you're interested, or if you know somebody that's got a car, a truck, a van, we don't really do motorhomes because the 10'4" is the highest we can fit something in, and usually with an AC it's a little over that. But at Boat Street Storage, it's our old shop. Keep it at 55 degrees, 17 cameras. You can call 907-888-0685 or go to boatstreetstorage.com. Street is spelled out, and you can check it out. I think we got the best rates in town, and we're filling up fast, and it just, it pays the heat bill through the winter, although we left the rates the same as last year, and then the price of oil kind of kicked our butts, but that's all right. Anyway, 888-0685. Okay, enough of that business out of the way. We were talking whitefish with Eric Spitzer.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me that story.
Yeah, so check this out. I take a big wetsuit with me when I go out anytime I go on the boat, because you never know what's going to happen. I always have the hood, and I get the goggles and whatnot. Plus, I always like to go underwater and look for tusks and teeth and bones and stuff like that. Anyway, so I went up. I'm not going to say where exactly.
Of course.
But it was a very clear water river. And right at this like deep cut bank, right before a long stretch where there's a lot of grayling, I went down and I'm crawling my way up on this under this cut bank, under these sweepers. And these are fresh pine, like spruce sweepers that still have the pine needles attached to them.
You're holding your breath?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not snorkeling.
Well, I have a snorkel.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I'm
underwater. Oh, yeah,
underwater,
yeah, yeah. I see what you, okay.
Yeah, I'm not at the surface. Yeah. So I swim down. I'm like, I want to see what's underneath it. Because you never know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe gold nuggets down there. Who
body?
Knows what? Anything, right? So I'm swimming down, and I look up, and underneath this sweeper, there is, like, I don't mean like 10 or 15. There must have been almost 100 whitefish. Mm. And they are hiding underneath this sweeper. And I'm thinking to myself, probably, so ospreys can't swoop down and grab them.
Sure?
You can't catch them. You can't catch them with a fishing line because, you know, you're going to get all tangled up in that business right there from above water. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take, first I got to check with ADF&G to make sure it's legit. I'm pretty sure it is. But I know you can spear whitefish, but Can you spear them with a Hawaiian sling while you're underwater submerged? I just want to make sure that I'm legit on that before I go encouraging people to do this. But I couldn't believe the number of whitefish that were there just hanging out, completely protected. And you would never see them because you can't see through the clear water right there because of all the turbulent, the currents going there and all that. But I'm like, oh, man.
That's where they're hiding.
I'm going to just... And then I got to check on limit and all that, make sure.
My dad used to tell me that you could only catch whitefish on salmon eggs in the spring. They'd take salmon eggs early in the, you know, when early in the spring.
Oh.
But other than that, he said, you're never going to catch. I snagged one time. I've only ever caught one whitefish. And we were grayling fishing on the Delta Clearwater and got one. But I remember as a kid leaving that hook on the bottom of the river and watching them come up and then just try. They could never get them. I tried for years. I finally got one and I quit trying after that. I just wanted to get one.
They're big for, they get some size to them. And the folks down on the lower Yukon, they were big on doing dry fish out of that.
Oh, yeah. 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 They do that. One of the trips I made one time, one of my memorable trips was in 2000. A bunch of us went up to Good Pasture on the 9th of May. We had a really hot melt, and the ice. So we go up, and the river still froze, but it's so hot out. The water is coming up, and it's breaking off chunks. So we had the Sport Johns, and they were relatively new. I think they came out in 98, 99. 99 was the first commercial year we produced them.
This is back when you're doing all the videos, doing the jumps and all that.
Yeah, we're sliding over the. So you'd go up and you'd see water about 50 yards ahead, and you'd hit it as hard as you can. You'd slide over the ice down into the water, and then you'd get up, and the whole river bank is the whole river's froze, but there's all this noise. So you'd pull on the inside bank. We'd sit there. We had a beer or whatever, and we'd sit there watch, and all of a sudden you'd hear this crack, and everything would flow. You'd keep going.
Yep.
We did that all day long. We got to a point where we were bored and we're waiting for the water. And one of the guys that was with us that worked for us, he wanted to go water skiing on paddles behind the boat. So we had an open area of water there and we were just stupid enough to try this. So what we did is we duct taped paddles. We videoed this.
Wow.
I have it on Hull's Gone Wild. We duct taped paddles to his feet. And I'd come by, we made a water ski handle out of a piece of driftwood with a rope.
Yeah.
We had a 30-foot rope. And we came by him, and he's on the ice, right on the edge of the water. And one of my guys handed him the rope as I drive by, and it pulls him face first into the snow, cut his face up a little bit. Then we decided the paddles were on backwards, so we turned it around. Didn't make a bit of difference. He fell again. We were laughing. We had a good time.
Got to keep them tips up.
Oh, it was hilarious. We never did get to water ski, but we tried.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a crazy trip. I got to get that video to you. It is hilarious. There's so many great memories on that tape. And my daughter, Emily, is the one that she'd go with us a lot and video. She videoed a lot. Sometimes I video, and she would edit it and put it to music. Each one is to, like, some good rock and roll music. It's pretty fun.
I never did the water skis out of the paddles. But I'll tell you this, in a mini jet, I have done on the Talkeetna, cruising along downriver and then going up onto the piece of ice on the side there and then sliding it down and then bloop.
On the other side.
On the other side there. Well,
you know, that year in 2000, the water was coming up so fast. We actually went into the woods, like in the forest.
Yeah.
And we're boating through the forest.
Crazy?
It's so crazy. And the water's moving fast. And it's just, incredible. I mean, I always wanted another hot melt like that. We need that now to take that log jam out because we need ice to shove it down. But I mean, it was amazing. We were up by this right when Pogo Mine got, before they even really got going. I think it was 2004 is when they really got going. But this was before that. But we used to take the shop crew and go up there all the time, and it was, you know, great morale. Guys had so much fun. We'd camp on a tents on the gravel bar, and go way way up there before we had a place to stay on the upper river. But yeah, a lot of fun memories. I kind of miss that, you know, doing that crazy stuff. But now we've got a place up there. We're comfortable. Got a place to sleep, foam mattresses and everything else. I don't know that I'll sleep in a tent ever again. My back doesn't like sleeping on the ground. I caught is okay, but I do have the creature comfort syndrome. So
I'll tell you what. Have you seen those clam tents that they have now? It's called a clam.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen them on internet. I've not seen
them. What I love about them is, like, it comes in just like a zip bag.
Yep.
And then you just go up there, pop it up. Literally, this thing takes 2 minutes to set up. Zip it, and then just put a tarp on top of it, and like as a rain fly or whatever.
You got a little cot. I can't sleep on the ground.
I gotta have a little cot. I gotta tell you, you know, like there's some game changer things that are out there, and the cot is one of those game changer deals. I'll tell you another one. I know this sounds like foo foo, but have you ever seen those Milwaukee electric power winches?
Warren makes one.
Oh, okay.
Warren, it's called a Polzall. I've got one.
They are awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just got a regular, I forget what watt battery in it, but slides in, one of the big ones.
Yep.
And it's 1,000-pound capacity, which you can double with block and tackle.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Especially if you're doing, like, your quarters, like if you truly quarter a moose, like in four pieces, like that's a game changer for putting your stuff up.
Amazing. We had a tree that was hanging over our upper cabin, like ready to fall on it. We took it down this summer, big one, like 20-inch diameter. And it fell over onto the river, and we cut it up, and we use that little thing to drag the pieces up because they're on the bank. There's no way you're going to hoist those, you know, 6, 8, 10 foot that are 22. So we got all those up, and it's just handy. And it's got a little trigger on it, reverse forward, and they're pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think Denali Fasteners has got them, but
I like winching them, like you gut it and then winch the moose to your boat. Like the whole moose.
I have a capstan winch.
Oh, you use that?
Yeah, a Simpson winch. Yeah. I've got that because it's stronger. But that is, and we've done that where we knock them down out in the brush, but not that far from the riverbank. So we just hook them on. Normally, I always used to go by the back feet and let the rack drag. But you can also do it by the nose. You can put a noose around the head of the moose and drag it out. We take the guts out, and then we just drag it over onto good gravel near the water. Then you can clean your knives and all that stuff.
That's nice. In fact, I got a nice video of, no more packing moose. I'm just winching moose. And, like, actually, in this video, it's not using that electric winch. I'm using the those rope along.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call them?
Rope. Yeah, the same thing we used to get the snow machine out of the ICU.
Same thing. I forgot about that. Yeah. Holy cow.
Hey, listen, I just want to remind everybody, I appreciate you coming in, Eric, and talking outdoor stuff, but I want to remind everybody to get out and vote. If you don't vote, don't bitch about government. Yeah. Don't complain. Don't say what your tax money is going to. Don't complain about a puppy shelter that's $40 million. Don't complain about no gas line. Get out there and vote, and then you really can make a difference.
And take someone with you.
Absolutely.
Take a friend along and vote, or two.
I leave here, I voted early, but as soon as I leave here, I'm picking Abby up and my gal, and I'm taking her out to vote. I just reminded my sister to vote. You know, I can't remember how late. Does it go to 8 o'clock? 7? Don't wait till the last minute.
Yeah, get out there, like right after lunch.
Vote. Please vote, whatever you do, because this is too important. We're losing everything. I'll tell you what, where you're really going to start complaining is when all of a sudden you're losing your local hunting, fishing access rights.
Yep.
That's when it gets real personal. Some people go, gas line, whatever. I've got a good job. Yeah. What about your kids and your grandkids and everything else? And what about your hunting rights and your fishing rights and your access?
Last election, it was like something 14 or 18% of registered voters in Fairbanks voted. That is absolutely unacceptable. And you can't complain.
Let's get to 25. Can we get to 25? Is that a start? Out of four people voting? Are you kidding
me? There's people in other countries that they can't vote because it's such a dictatorship.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And they would absolutely love to vote. Here we have this right to vote, and nobody, I don't know. It doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. Your vote counts, man. Get out there.
So when we get off the radio here, get out and vote. Go out and do it. Please do it. I don't want anybody out here listening. Every KFAR listener should vote. I imagine we have a much higher percentage. But get out there, folks. Hey, this is Craig Compo. Eric Spitzer, thanks for coming in. It's been a blast. We will you'll see Dave Prus on Friday on Problem Corner. Be safe out there.
KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks, K248 DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.